Danny, how are you?
George, I'm doing well. We just had our first in-person Rocky Mountain Sabre chapter meeting. Talked baseball for 2 hours. Overflow crowd. My gosh, it was so much fun.
So tell people where you do this.
We're in downtown Denver at a place called the Blake Street Tavern. We get about 40 to 50 people every month, the third Wednesday of every month. We did it on a Thursday this time because the Rockies were playing yesterday afternoon. But we get together as a group and we just sit around and talk baseball. And we've got Tony Fauci's right hand, one of the great researchers in the world. We have a bunch of media people. We have a former player, a former Boston Brave left-handed pitcher. It is an absolute blast. Now, all we do is talk ball. And, George, I'll be honest with you, it is an absolute blast.
Oh, it sounds like it. Okay, so you know what you're walking into today. Danny, I am about on the ledge right now with the Braves. This thing looks like it's coming off the train tracks.
You know, George, I think one of the challenges of being with the club is exercising patience and recognizing that snippets of the season aren't really as bad as you think and aren't as good as you think. And I think the Braves, I thought a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, they were on the brink of being who I thought they would be. They're sputtering. But, you know, it's mid-June. I was part of a club that won 99 games. We were 12 games under 500 in mid-June. So it can happen. For the Braves to turn things around, they've just got to get their bullpen settled. Martin's recent failures have really called out the attention that they need to get better, because he's blown a couple games that just ordinarily he's been lights out. But, you know, that division, aside from the Mets, nobody's run away from the Braves to this point. So I understand the concern, because I have concern too. I root for them because one of my friends is their general manager. But I don't think they're done yet, George. But I do think, you know, one of the great things in the game is people always never want to pretend like things are serious. It's like deflecto, and it's so crazy. If I were the Braves, I'd be concerned, and I'd be really concerned, because they've got to start showing some consistency, or else they're going to be mired at 500, and the Mets will pull away if the Braves don't play better.
What buttons do you think they have to push? And here's where I'm coming with that. We know the injuries. Soroka, Waskari Noah, I love saying that name, Travis d'Arnaud, Marcell Ozuna, both injury and domestic issues. But there's also some pitching stuff going on that has not been where it ought to be. Bullpen, as you mentioned, has been, you know, just a gasoline fire. And Freddie Freeman hasn't been anywhere close. And people are wondering if the lack of contract negotiations that he called off and said, I'm done, is that playing a factor at all?
Sure it is. Of course it is. They're human beings, George. And you know what? When you've got the rest of your career kind of sitting in front of you with contract negotiations, I've never had good experience negotiating with a player in season. It's never worked out well as an agent or as a general manager or assistant general manager. I think, you know, most assuredly it's given him problems. When it comes to injuries, George, you know what? I don't mean to be cold. Everybody gets hurt. Look at the White Sox. They have one of the best records in baseball right now. Look who they've lost. Look who some of these teams have lost. I mean, nobody has escaped the injury situation. The key is you need your subordinate players to step up. And so far, that has not happened. Imagine the Braves if Acuna didn't have the first half that he's had.
Oh, gosh.
You know, this is a situation where they're better than they're showing. And they're not alone. There's other clubs. I mean, You know, I look at the Yankees. The Yankees are the American League version of the Braves. There's no question the Yankees should be a better club than they are right now. And right now, at this point of the season, if you're with a club, quietly, you're concerned when you're struggling. But for some reason, that little club, you never like to say, yeah, I'm concerned. I said it one year, and my gosh, it was like a forest fire. I couldn't believe the response that I got. But, George, candidly, when the good clubs play well, they play well overcoming injuries, when subordinate players and basically guys step in that are unexpected, but also you got to have some breaks. Some things have to go well for your club. And at this point of the season, it's not too late for that to happen, but it better start happening soon.
Is there a scenario where Brian Snitker gets fired?
Yeah, you know, I don't see that. I just, you know, and obviously I'm not with them on a daily basis. I think that the time to make a managerial change is when you've lost the club, when the team doesn't respect the individual, when the guy looks hopeless and helpless. I haven't seen that at all. I've seen candor. I've seen honesty. I've seen energy. I don't think, you know, the players have to be accountable, George. And when they don't play well, as a front office, you've got to support your own decisions and you've got to find ways of tweaking your team. And that's the hardest part about mid-June, because nobody right now is really focused on their club in terms of making trades, because their best scouts are preparing for the draft. So as a result, tough to make a deal right now. I mean, really tough. You've got to count on what you already have in hand to turn things around. And George, that is a humbling time for a general manager. I remember being with the Dodgers one day. We had gone through a scoreless inning streak offensively, yet we were pitching great. And a writer friend of mine said, Danny, you got to do something. And I just said to him, off the record, what can I do? Nobody's willing to make a trade right now.
Yeah.
And that's a really bad position to be in.
Danny, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I went down to Arlington, and I saw a level of shift on Joey Gallo that really shocked me, because it was throughout the entire game, they used four outfielders. And there are a lot of people out there, number one, angry that players don't take advantage of a wide-open side of a field and go that way when it's presented to them. Do you think baseball will ever say, no more shift, it's done?
Well, they're already taking a shot at it right now, George. I believe it's the Atlantic League, where they've drawn a line right through the middle of the field. And you have to have two players on each side of that line, and their feet have to be in the dirt. In fact, we just talked about that in our Sabre meeting.
Yeah.
You know, it dates back all the way back to Lou Boudreau with Ted Williams in the late 40s. You know, I was a big shift guy with the White Sox in the 80s and the 90s. I think what we're looking at, George, is an anemic offensive portion of the ball of the game that none of us really ever envisioned. I mean, the offensive output is back to 1968 levels. It's astounding how different it is. One third of the at-bats are no balls in play. So I think you're going to see a possibility of taking the shift out of the game to improve offense. But one of the things that I've noticed is the stubbornness of big league players sometimes is really amazing.
Yeah.
You know, when you see guys, when you see four outfielders, when you see four infielders on one side of the bag, and guys don't take advantage of it, and I've heard various reasons. One reason I've heard, hey, I didn't get here being a guy to use all fields. Well, the problem is when the defense takes away holes and the defense takes away your ability to swing the bat, you better find other alternative ways of reaching base, or else your offensive contribution is reduced, is almost neutered, to the point where it starts to affect you on payday because suddenly you're not producing the same numbers that you were. I mean, Gallo's a great example. He's probably going to get traded at the deadline, but everybody's envisioning a shift that would probably neutralize some of his offense.
Yeah. Danny, I've got, let's see here. I've got a minute. Are you in favor of regulations against the shift?
I am, George. I never was in the past, but I am now. We're an entertainment-based game, and I think the shift has taken offense out of the game, and the majority of fans who follow the sport want to see offense, not pitching. I think the pitching will rebound. You'll still have good pitching, but you're taking offensive production away from the sport. And I think from an entertainment standpoint, we need to be cognizant of that. It's the hardest thing to do in the game. And I think when there's inaction on the field and outs from places we've never seen before, it's not good for the game.
Okay, after the U.S. Open update, which is about 45 seconds away, we'll go to the break. And then Watson Brown and Jack Gentry will have a go at it. Probably a little less Braves and a little more intelligent stuff than what I put out there. But nonetheless, they will go front and center stage with Danny. We're now 30 seconds away from the U.S. Open update. Let's turn on the majestic music. Da, 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 whatever.
One of the greatest golf courses in America. I've played there many times, and it ate me up, George.
Okay, 10 seconds, Danny. What would you shoot on 18 holes at Torrey Pines?
Last time I played there, I shot 88, and I was thrilled.
Oh, he's a lot better than I am. Okay, we're headed to the report. Here we go.
Westwood One Sports presents this special report on the 121st U.S. Open Golf Championship, sponsored by Callaway, the number one irons in golf. Dustin Johnson has looked nothing like the number one player in the world this year. He missed the cut at both the Masters and the PGA Championship. Now he tees it up at Torrey Pines, the site of his first major start 13 years ago.
It seems like it's, you know, typical U.S. Open. I mean, I played here in 08, and it seems like it's very similar from what I remember. Maybe a little deeper around the greens. It's pretty thick and healthy around the greens for sure.
It's not a U.S. Open if you're not talking about the juicy rough. DJ goes off at 3:06 Pacific. On top right now, there's two-time U.S. Open champ Brooks Koepka, Matthew Wolf, and Patrick Rogers at 3-under. Wolf has a major case of weird arm with one of the oddest swings on tour. He's got 8 birdies on the card, but also 3 bogeys and a double. I'm Ted Emmerich, Westwood One Sports.
20 years ago, Odyssey changed the putting game when they introduced the White Hot Insert. Now, the most iconic, most played, and most sought-after putter insert of all time is back in the new White Hot OG. White Hot OG has the same mythical combination of sound, feel, and performance as the original, but with modern upgrades that are available in classic head shapes like the 2-ball, the Rossi, and the number 7. White Hot OG, legendary then, iconic now. See the new lineup at odysseygolf.com.
Oh, come on! 4! There it is.
In golf, the right adjustments can make all the difference. We feel the same way about financial planning. With Fidelity Wealth Management, your dedicated advisor will work with you to create a personalized plan for your full financial picture. And as your needs change, they'll help you make adjustments so you can stay on target. Learn more at fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC.
Blair, what about my medical bills?
They'll all be taken care of through the settlement.
What about me?
You worry about getting better. Do what your doctor tells you. We'll take care of the rest.
What a relief.
Mark Durham Injury Law, 615-242-9000.
Hi, I'm Marcus Scribner. The way we treat others affects us all, and that includes the way we treat animals. Cruel treatment of animals overseas led to the pandemic crisis, killing 1 million people worldwide. Environmental destruction, pollution, and poaching have killed endangered wild species. Our world today is a poorer place for people to live and inhumane for both people and animals. Fight back, American Humane created a 10-point plan to help animals, people, and the world we share. From ending the dog and cat meat trade to universal humane standards for farms, zoos, entertainment, and animal transport. Together we can make a difference. Join the fight for our animal friends. Go to AmericanHumane.org today and sign our new deal for animals. For a kinder, safer, and healthier world for all of us.
What is it about a classic that appeals to us? Hello, I'm Sammy Stewart, president of F&M Bank. There are a few classics that haven't changed. This truck and these glasses. You know, with proper maintenance and a few upgrades, a classic still works today. We invite you to experience the classic customer service at F&M Bank that has been our hallmark since 1906. Check us out at myfmbank.com.
F&M Bank, your money.
Smart choice.
With the weather getting warmer, I think about golf, even though my golf game isn't that great, and I want to throw an option out there that you may not have thought of in a while. Riverside Golf Links at 640 Old Hickory Boulevard. With new ownership, the golf course has improved dramatically. The greens look awesome. There are 27 holes, 9 of which are an executive course for beginners and juniors. So the other 18 holes have great bunkers. It's fun. It's relaxing. The pace of play will allow you to get 18 holes in 4 hours or less. So let me give you a couple of other particulars. A brand new grill, a stocked pro shop, and improved practice facilities. Great fun, great way to entertain yourself. Dial them up for a tee time, 847-5074, or go online, riversidegolflinks.com.
Napa Know How.
Celebrate Dad all month at Napa with the Evercraft 100-piece screwdriver set for $19.99. To a regular person, that might seem like an excessive number of screwdrivers. But to Dad, that's just being prepared, like buying a paper map in case the GPS goes rogue. That's the Evercraft 100-piece screwdriver set for $19.99. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating locations while supplies last. Offer ends 6/30/21.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Sky Scan forecast. Sunny throughout the afternoon. Temperatures low 90s. Mostly clear overnight tonight. Lows drop to around 70. Friday also going to be a sunny day. Temperatures low 90s and mostly clear Friday night. Lows near 70. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio. I'm WNSR's Joe Gardner.
Sports Radio WNSR.
.322 is the time. We welcome all of you back. We'll have another U.S. Open update at 3:46. But until then, talking with former Dodger general manager Danny Evans, his weekly visit on the show. Watson, the floor is yours. Take it away.
Danny, I asked George this earlier in the week, and I don't have an answer for it. This doctrine of the baseball with the pitchers that's come up again now, and the umpires going to be harder on everybody. And why is it that that isn't as big a deal as the steroids was with the hitters, to where it's kept people out of the Hall of Fame? And some of those guys, even on steroids, and you can help me with this, even before they were illegal, I think, before they were made illegal by Major League Baseball. Why is there a difference? And I feel like there's a big difference in the two.
Well, first of all, Watson, great to hear from you again. I think we just talked about that here in our Sabre meeting. And the problem is that for some reason, people view what pitchers are doing as the performance enhancement. And, you know, I think if you're cheating, you're cheating. So for me, the big change and the big difference is I see 75 to 80% or more of pitchers are using. When it came to PEDs, I think it was about 50%. So I think there's more use of the sticky stuff, and it's lopsided because it's all pitchers versus hitters. So I think the outcry is taking place, Watson, because of the offense and the lack of offense in the game. But I think also, for some reason, people are viewing what they're doing as not as bad because they think of ingesting drugs as being just, you know, that's just blatant. I don't think there's much difference, Watson, myself. I think if you're putting stuff on your hand to impart 300 to 500 more RPMs of speed, adding movement, spin, making it tougher than ever to hit a baseball, and the hitter can't do anything on their side of things to, you know, to augment that or retaliate, you know, I think that's a really big deal. And I think the game is suffering. The shame of it is they had to make a move in season because this could have been taken care of in the off season, but you know, they had so many things going on with COVID, so many things going on with wondering if we were going to play or not. But I think it's a good move doing something about it, but it's taking some of the attention off the excellence on the field. And we're talking more about, you know, spider tech and things that are, you know, just not as fun to talk about as Fernando Tatis and, you know, teams like the Red Sox and the White Sox right now.
Do you think it'll ever catch up with steroids, Danny, to the point that it would keep some of these pitchers out of the Hall of Fame in time?
Well, you know what? That conversation took place today here, and it also took place with a really good friend of mine, a media person, a couple days ago. I think the problem is, until you know for sure the guy gets nailed, there's the speculation, that gray area, that cloud that has, you know, followed a lot of players for the last 20, 25 years, almost like that Pigpen cloud in the Snoopy cartoon. But now I think it's a matter of, does somebody get caught? Because if somebody gets caught, if somebody admits it, I think it'll tarnish them to an extent. I'm not sure. I had somebody today here at our Sabre meeting be really adamant about cheating is cheating. And he said, you know, if you're caught, it's just like you were using PEDs. And I hadn't thought that through that way, Watson, but I think there's value to it. And I think there's some validity at the same time. But, you know, here's the thing, Watson. Nobody's been in the clubhouse for the last year and a half. The sanctuary of the clubhouse, which baseball is probably the most open clubhouse of all the sports, nobody's been allowed inside for a year and a half. And I think that's contributed to the widespread use because people weren't afraid of having having the substance out there, of using it, because, you know, there was access to the clubhouse that was denied. Now, all of a sudden, as media people start to be able to get closer and closer to the players, and with the Major League Baseball, you know, jurisdiction coming down as of Monday, I think it's going to be a really interesting thing to see how the game handles it. I think the umpires are in a really tough spot because they're being asked to be the judge and jury, and I don't think that's fair to them. They've got enough to do, but they're being asked to do it, and they'll do it.
You know, Danny, in the old days, I can vividly remember, and I'm old, so I'm talking the old days. I can vividly remember hitters, when one of those balls just fell off a table, would ask the umpire to look at the ball. I don't see
Absolutely.
That in these hitters.
Yeah.
I don't see that in these hitters today. Why are they not doing that?
I don't know, Watson. I don't get it. You know, I'm not an antique, but I'm not a young boy anymore. And any time a ball did something like that in the past, you know, the hitter automatically just said, hey, let's check that baseball. Or whenever a ball was scuffed and you saw a ball hit the ground, you would ask him to take the ball out of the game. But now today's hitter, for some reason, they don't ask. And I think part of it is this. They have teammates that are using. So if they call out the opposing pitcher, they may get one of their own teammates called out. And there's that brethren that takes place in the clubhouse, in the dugout, where you don't want to turn in your own guy, but by your own actions, you might be doing that. So I think that's one of the interesting elements of this whole equation is that guys are trying to protect their teammates. Managers, coaches are doing the same thing. So as a result, they don't want to call anyone out because they're afraid the next half inning, the same thing is going to take place.
That's why I love talking to you. I never would have come up with that one. That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. But it really hit me that I don't see the guys turning around the ump. Look at the ball. I want you to take a look at that ball. And, I mean, it'd be thrown back to the pitcher some, Danny, in the old days, and the umpire would go out and get it, take it out of his hands
and everybody knew what it looked like, too. You knew when something like that occurred, you saw it, you reacted to it because it was abnormal. It's just not the way the ball should move. And I think what we're seeing now is we're starting to get used of late exceptional movement. And that should be the exception, not the norm. But it's become the norm because of the use of the sticky substances. For the fans, you all need to know that baseballs move. There's a baseball that'll move a little bit here and there with a four-seam or two-seam fastball. But what we're seeing is we're seeing movement that we've never seen before, and we're starting to get used to it. And because of that, Watson, the balls that are diving, we're not responding like we did 10, 15 years ago. We would have said, whoa, hold on a second. Let's see that ball. And that's when guys got caught. Now we're kind of getting used to seeing balls dart late like that. And we're becoming so accustomed to it that people aren't calling them out. Plus, they know they've got teammates that are using. I'll bet you 75-80% of pitchers were using prior to a couple of weeks ago when Major League Baseball first came clean that they were going to crack down.
Wow. Let me get one call before I go to Jack. Watson, you're done?
Had one more, but I'm good. I'm good.
Let me go Billy in Antioch. Billy, say hello to Danny Evans at 3:31.
Yeah, you said Major League Baseball is in the entertainment industry, correct?
Then absolutely, Billy.
They have no business getting into politics, okay? I think what they did was terrible. If you went to a movie theater and when they showed Coming Attractions, they showed a bunch of commercials about how it's great to be a Democrat and the United States is not a great country and all this crap, you wouldn't go to that movie theater again. So I think it's wrong for somebody to say that Major League Baseball should be getting in politics. That's just wrong. And I think for you to take their position means you're a leftist socialist. And that's all I got to say.
Jesus.
Well, Billy, our politics might be different. I'm very proud to be a liberal, and I am very, very good about it. And I think Major League Baseball's move with the Atlanta All-Star Game was the right move, and I fully supported it, still do, and always would.
Help me. A court ruled something recently on that, didn't they?
Yes, they did. They ruled that there was absolutely no merit to the case that was brought forward by an entity, and as a result, Major League Baseball had the right to move the game.
Jack?
And you know, George, I've been called a lot of things throughout my career, but that was a good one. I'm kind of proud of that one. You know, half of it, not the socialist part, but it's kind of nice to get called out and people get it right.
Yeah. By the way, late word out of Dallas, Rick Carlisle, out as coach of the Mavericks, says it was his decision one day after the GM hit the road.
Yeah, that's interesting. Seems like they're in a panic to keep Luka on their side.
Luka.
Danny, I've got a question to you relating to the spider tack, the goop, the substance stuff that we've been hearing, because I watched Tyler Glasnow's press conference. Extremely well-spoken guy, Tyler Glasnow, while also being one of the best pitchers in baseball. So he suffered a UCL injury, and I don't know whether it's minor or major. I think he was on the 10-day IL. But, he brought up a point in the post-game press conference where he said, without having anything on these balls, they're inconsistent balls. They're chalky and really hard to grab a grip of. So he's putting it deeper into his hand, having to grab it tighter. And then, obviously, he moves his arm in a way, with such velocity and force that when you're fully clenching a baseball, these muscles, leading up to your elbow tighten up. And he believes that the MLB didn't really consider the injury aspect of this. So what do you have to say about those comments that he made?
Yeah, Jack, I saw his comments. I've known Tyler since he was a sophomore in high school up at Hart High School in Santa Clarita, California. Really well-spoken, good point. I thought he handled himself really well. Pitchers are so finely tuned that the slightest alteration sometimes has an effect on them. And I think, you know, I'm not an orthopedist, but I'll give way to people who know better. I just don't know. I don't know structurally if you were using sticky stuff on a baseball and suddenly backed off, what that would mean. But I think what he basically was saying is, yes, I was using, and now I wasn't to the same extent, and I may have hurt myself. And I hate to see guys get hurt, but whether or not it was a result or an after effect of using the stuff, you know what, Jack, I just don't know. I'm not qualified to make that comment.
I know that's a tricky question for you, and it's something really that Major League Baseball has to figure out. But do you see a reasonable solution at the end of this? I mean, is there light at the end of the tunnel for these pitchers? I know they all hate it, and I know most of them, use something, whether it's like glass now, sunscreen and rosin, some with spider tacks, you know, different substances for different pitchers. But how do you see this kind of solving itself?
Well, I think what we're going to see and what I would suggest is a couple things. I think they need to make the ball a little bit more tacky so the ball resembles more the Japanese ball or the KBO, the Korean baseball. Those balls are tackier. They have a little bit better hold. I think secondly, I think as a sport, we need to regulate what can and cannot be used. I mean, rosin bags have been used for 100 years. It's the combinations that have caused the issues. I mean, I've told George this off the air that I went to a game in the Tropicana Dome where a guy literally sprayed sunscreen all over his arm before a start. This is in the Tropicana Dome, and then followed it up with rosin. And I'm watching it going, how more blatant can you be? There's no UV issue in this place. So I personally think that the game needs to get its arms around this. We need to, I mean, it's already the hardest thing to do in the game, hitting a baseball. And with tech, with some of the precision that we've started to really work with players, it's harder than ever between video tech and scouting. It's harder than ever to hit. We've just made it just about impossible. And I think what we'll see is as of Monday, we'll start to see an offensive surge in the game simply because so many guys were making it so hard on hitters.
I am super focused on, you know, and I know we're in mid-June. We have to say this for the next, you know, month and a half before, you know, the really crucial months of the baseball season approach. But we are in mid-June. But this AL MVP race right now, it seems to be between Vlad Guerrero Jr. and Shohei Ohtani. Fascinating to me because Vlad Jr. leads baseball in home runs and RBIs. He's up there in batting average, has a legitimate shot at the Triple Crown this year, where Shohei Ohtani not only is getting it done at the dish, but you know he's had a good season on the mound too. He's a sub-3 ERA, a really fascinating player. And how do you see that race shaping up? Two extremely different players, but having the same extraordinary season.
Jack, that is a fabulous question. That's like going to a buffet and trying to figure out what you like best, and you want to sample everything on your plate. You know, I had something to do with both of them. I was part of the group that signed Guerrero and just think he's one of the greatest young players I've ever seen. And I think it's an amazing testimony to him and his character and his desire to get better. He cut a lot of weight during the offseason. This is the guy that I thought we were going to see. I thought we were going to see excellence. That's why we signed him for as much money as we signed him for in Toronto. You know, Ohtani, I think he's the most unique player in the modern era. I think he's an exceptional talent. For me, he's the best package of talent I've ever seen in the game. You know, personally, I think it comes down to how their teams do in 2021. I think we've got to look at the next 3 months because Ohtani impacts the game like nobody in the game. I mean, his WAR is like 3.8 right now, and we're only in June. this guy's going to have a 7, 8, or 9 WAR season as a two-way guy who's also has the dimension of base stealing. Vladdy is an offensive player as good as there is in the game. I mean, his power, his contact, his knowledge of the strike zone is amazing. But I think they're not alone. There's so many great young players in the game right now. This is a great time to be a baseball fan. You look at Soto, Acuna. You look at some of the really great young players in the sport. If I were to pick right now, I'd pick Ohtani over Vladdy. But I would only do it because of his ability to put both pitch and hit. I think it's so unique. And if you use the pure definition of value, you got a number one starter and an elite bat with power. I just don't think that compares to a guy who plays first base and swings the bat. I just think that's a different guy.
Swings the bat well, though, Danny. I will.
Oh my God, we gave him $3.95 million, and I didn't even blink. So you know, I will just tell you, I think we used 95% of our international pool to sign Guerrero, and none of us had a problem with it. We knew we were getting excellence. He might be better than his father, which I never ever envisioned, because his dad was one of the great players of all time.
And one of the all-time bad ball hitters that ever came on earth. I know we got to run to the break. It's 3:40. We will get you a U.S. Open update from Torrey Pines at 3:46. So let's do go to the break. You're listening to WNSR. My buddy James Warren from Sir Speedy of Music City is with us. I was looking for a way a while back to get targeted messages to people who might be interested in listening to our daily show, and so I asked James for a little help. You take it from there.
So what we were able to do is come up with 7,000 names of people in Nashville and their addresses by zip code that are interested in spectator sports, football, baseball, that sort of thing. It was a pretty reasonable price too, wasn't it, George?
Yes, it was. I got the BGA discount.
Yeah, so in other words, twice the normal. This is something that we do for all sorts of folks. We can sort it by zip code, by type of people, age, whatever, to make it get to the people that you want to get to. If you've got a new business, no better way to do it.
Sir Speedy of Music City, phone number 832-9511, or go to SirSpeedyMusicCity.com.
Hi, everybody. I'm Kristen Chenoweth. When our servicemen and women return from war, they often carry wounds that the rest of us cannot see. Up to 1 in 5 veterans who served in Iraq and Afghanistan are diagnosed with post-traumatic stress. And often, even the best treatment, including medication and therapy, they fall short. Sadly, more than 6,000 veterans die every year from suicide. Thanks to the life-saving power of the human-animal bond, professionally trained service dogs can help. But connecting a veteran with a well-trained service dog can be difficult. Waitlists are long and training can cost tens of thousands of dollars, but service dogs can bring healing. If you're a veteran or know a veteran struggling with post-traumatic stress or traumatic brain injury, please go to AmericanHumane.org to learn about their Pups for Patriots program, which provides dogs to veterans for free of charge. Let's help our veterans heal from the invisible wounds of war.
We need the forklift over here.
Indeed knows unexpected growth can stretch your business thin.
Okay, those molds need to be adjusted. The shippers are coming at noon, so we got to get this done.
Like at Dennis's plastic startup, to stay flexible, he needs to get started hiring right away.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. And the moment you sponsor a job on Indeed, you get a short list of quality candidates from our resume database. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get a $75 credit for your first sponsored job post. Terms and conditions apply.
Thinking about buying a home or refinancing? Lori Burnett Leland at MortgageLadyUSA.com can help. Listen to what other folks are saying about their experience. John in Birmingham says, quote, Lori helped me walk through each stage of the loan process and ensured I was comfortable with every step we made. She shared her wealth of knowledge and fielded all of my questions regarding my very first home purchase. She's the best. With the power of USA Lending behind her, and over 50 different bank options, Lori Burnett Leland wants to be your mortgage lady. Call her today at 615-969-4350 or visit MortgageLadyUSA.com. Equal housing opportunity, One Vantage Way, Nashville, Tennessee, NMLS number 1088591 and 45370. Licensed in Tennessee, Alabama, and Georgia.
Napa Know How.
Some things just go better together, like a 5-quart jug of Napa Full Synthetic Motor Oil and a Platinum Filter for $26.48. It's like bacon and eggs, hot dogs and mustard, or Joni and Chachi. Ask your dad about it. That's Napa Full Synthetic and a Platinum Filter for $26.48. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
General States pricing. Sales prices not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Offer ends 6/30/21.
Atlanta Braves baseball is rolling, and this team is battling every night for the big National League wins.
1-1 to Acuna. Swung on, hit high and deep to center. Way back. That ball is gone. Home run.
Tonight, Ronald Acuna and the Braves get a huge National League battle at Truist Park in Atlanta as they take on the St. Louis Cardinals.
Coverage begins this afternoon at 6:05 on your home for the Atlanta Braves, Nashville Sports Radio.
Sports Radio, WNSR.
This is the George Plaster Show. Call now, 844-5600 on WNSR Nashville Sports Radio.
In less than 30 seconds, we'll head to a U.S. Open update from Torrey Pines in San Diego. A couple of sports notes. Rick Carlisle out as the coach of the Mavs. Says it was his choice. Boy, they're worried about where Luka may or may not be going. In Miami and Auburn, in about 8 years, a home-and-home series in football. Now to golf.
Westwood One Sports presents this special report on the 121st U.S. Open Golf Championship, sponsored by Prevagen. Patrick Reed has already won at Torrey Pines this year in January at the annual PGA Tour event. So what does he have to do to contend at the U.S. Open there?
At any golf tournament, it's all about momentum, and I feel like at U.S. Open that is huge and is basically pivotal through how you're going to start a tournament and how you're going to play is how you get off to a start, because the last thing you want to do is start behind the eight ball by going and making a bogey right off the bat.
And Reed got off to a great start last year at Winged Foot. He was the 36-hole leader before finishing tied for 13th. Reed will tee off at 3:06 Pacific. Reed's former college teammate at Georgia, Russell Henley, and Rafa Cabrera-Bello have the lead right now at 3-under. Brooks Koepka, Xander Schauffele, and Francesco Molinari are 1 back at 2-under. Phil Mickelson coming off his historic victory at the PGA last month, bogey at 6. He is now 3-over and 6 back. I'm Ted Emmerich.
Round 2 is no joke. This is where the contenders are separated from the pretenders. DraftKings Sportsbook is putting you courtside with a chance to turn $1 into $100. That's 100 to 1 odds on any basketball game. Pick any team that's still in the hunt for the trophy. And if that team wins, you'll receive $100 in free credits. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code PIN when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win their next game. And if they do, you'll claim $100 in free credits. That's promo code PIN. For a limited time, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Wager paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
Blair, what about my medical bills?
They'll all be taken care of through the settlement.
What about me?
You worry about getting better. Do what your doctor tells you. We'll take care of the rest.
What a relief.
Mark Durham Injury Law, 615-242-9000.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. That's 800-806-9554.
Award-winning Davidson Reserve Whiskey is the truest expression of what originally inspired Pennington Distilling Company, based in Nashville, to open a distillery in 2011. It's a reflection of Tennessee heritage that connects Tennessee to a long and storied history of distilling alcohol. Each expression is mashed, distilled, aged, and bottled right on site. Davidson Reserve takes pride in our craft, and we are honored to share it with you. Pick up a bottle of one of our award-winning Davidson Reserve whiskeys from your local retailer today. Award-winning Davidson Reserve Tennessee Whiskey is one of the world's first chances to experience and taste a small batch craft Tennessee whiskey. Taste this locally distilled, aged, and bottled spirit today. Award-winning Davidson Reserve Tennessee Whiskey.
I'm Blair Durham from Bart Durham Injury Law. We are open 24/7. Our team is working remotely so that we can stay connected during these times. We can get to work for you without a face-to-face meeting. We will get through this together. Our firm has been here 50 years and plan on 50 more. During scary times like these, we have to stay connected. Check out our social media to see how we can help our community and friends. I'm Blair Durham. We will get through this together.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast. Sunny throughout the afternoon. Temperatures low 90s. Mostly clear overnight tonight. Lows drop to around 70. Friday also going to be a sunny day. Temperatures low 90s and mostly clear Friday night. Lows near 70. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio. I'm WNSR's Joe Gardner.
Sports Radio WNSR.
.351, we'll have a final segment with our buddy Danny Evans as we talk some baseball with him. Let's each, if we can, ask one question to Danny as we go around the room. Danny, I'll start with this. How concerned should the Mets be and should Jacob DeGrom be that it seems like a lot of stuff's going on that's bad with him?
Yeah, he's having one of the greatest seasons in the history of the game. I mean, unparalleled success, George. I think for the team's best interest, we all should just keep our fingers crossed that he's okay. But he's got a series of stuff going on, and that really concerns me. I don't know if you saw last night. He was absolutely unhittable in those three innings.
He may well be, Danny, putting Clayton Kershaw in the rearview mirror. He's so good.
Yeah, and who could ever imagine that occurring? I mean, Kershaw is arguably one of the greatest pitchers of all time, and I think it's a great debate. We talked about that a little bit at our Sabre meeting. When you started talking about somebody being that exceptional, that speaks for itself.
Ooh, no kidding. Watson, what do you got?
Danny, I was down in Tampa for a week, and I watched the excitement around the boats and the NHL, and I'm sitting there watching the Rays. And they're in first place. They spend no money. They're in St. Pete. Nobody comes to the games. They have a much better road record than home record. And yet they're in first place. They're the most unbelievable organization. And I just can't figure them out.
So you know what, Watson? People talk about them being heavily analytic. In reality, heavily scouting. And they're not afraid to think outside the box. Given their financial restraints, you know, they just don't draw. I mean, they draw poorer than just about every team in the game and have been for an extended period. It's a bad place to see a baseball game. But I think what's lost is how great a scouting staff they are, because they get players in the draft, in trades, on the international market, and consistently replace guys when they reach a certain point where they can't afford them anymore. I give them a ton of credit. They are fun to watch. They have a heck of a manager, and I think they are just a counterculture to the other American League East teams.
They're unbelievable to me. Jack?
Danny, the Yankees keep falling. They're 4-6 in their last 10. Aaron Boone said he's very concerned with the team as it stands today. What are you seeing with this Yankees team? Does it seem like something's off? Do they need a switch in managers? What's going on?
Yeah, I don't think it's a switch in manager. They just need to play better, and I'm not dodging it, Jack, but their good players haven't played well enough. They haven't pitched when they haven't hit, and that puts them in just a horrible, horrible spot. Plus, the American League has a lot of good clubs. I think this is a team that, you know, what we saw is Cashman joined the club on the road. Boone called him out a little bit publicly. And in New York, that just doesn't happen. You just don't see that concern, that focus, that anxiety get public very often. But I think with that comes some accountability. So what they're basically saying is, we need you to play better, pitch better, because we won't win without it. I think clearly they have the talent to be a team in the postseason, but currently they're just treading water. And that's not good enough the next 2.5 months of the season.
You know, here's the other one, Danny. What happened to Minnesota?
I know. Remarkable. Remarkable, especially George. They have been so consistently good for an extended period. They got a terrific staff, real good front office people. They just cratered this year. And there's always a team every year that has a year that no one anticipated. I'm rather shocked. I thought they would compete with the White Sox for that division championship. Now, as a result, they're going to be a seller most likely. And I never would have thought that was the case in 21.
Okay, Danny, let's leave you with this. Barry Trotz or Tampa Bay?
Oh, boy. I'm going to say Tampa Bay. I'm, you know how big a hockey fan I am. I just think this Stanley Cup, as always, is entertaining, but it's even more entertaining this year. So I'm going to go Tampa Bay.
Okay. What is it right now? Is it 1-1?
1-1.
Yeah,
Steven. Yep.
Mm. Danny, appreciate it as always.
Thanks a bunch, and thanks to the listeners. I appreciate it, George. Have a good week. We'll talk to you next week.
Look forward to it. Danny Evans.